ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBABCDEFGHIJKLMNOPQRST. Why might you ask that I start off this podcast doing alphabet backwards? I don't know, just kind of prove that I could. It's been a long night. My son is 3 weeks old, and at midnight I was soothing him to try to get him back to sleep, and then again at 2:30, he and I actually went for a drive. The first, okay, I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to go for a drive with you drives, and that calmed him down enough that he was able to sleep in his swing for a while, and let mommy get some sleep. It's 7 a.m. and we're down, hopefully allowing mommy to get some more sleep. I don't know if you can hear in the background, but his swing is going even now. I'm watching him look around and hoping to watch him fall asleep because I'm trying to record a podcast. As much as I love him, I don't know that him screaming would make for good podcast recording. But hello out there in podcast world. Gave myself permission to not do a recording this week, to take 2 weeks off like I did the week that he was born, but I'm up early enough and have the time and had something that I wanted to say. Don't have much in the way to talk to you about comedy-wise. I've been practicing my 5-minute birth and pregnancy set that I put on last week's podcast. I've already made some changes. I want to talk about women consuming their own placenta. I want to do a Silence of the Lambs joke, for example. So there's some changes, some tweaks, but tonight is the monthly open mic at Solid Grounds Coffee Shop. I believe that it is. I haven't actually checked, but it's always the last Friday of the month, and this is the last Friday of the month, so I feel confident. And my wife and son are actually going to attend, so it makes it extra special. And so I'm looking forward to performing for the first time this set in front of an audience tonight, and I also am hoping to hit a more regular comedy open mic next week, probably Devon's Pub Tuesday night. And then next Friday I can talk about how that's going. But like I said, I'd give myself permission not to do a podcast, but there's something that I want to talk about. Yesterday I was, while I was filming, I was listening to a sermon, a teaching, and I often listen to something while I record videos, not because I don't care, but quite the opposite, because if I'm listening to something, then I don't get into what I'm filming. If I start watching the performance that I'm recording, sometimes that makes for bad camera work. So it works out better that if I have something going on in my brain, it's just something to listen to, then I can look at whatever I'm recording as this is a job to do, rather than, oh wow, they're doing such a great job performing, and crap, somebody's been off camera for 2 minutes and I didn't even realize. So I was listening to a sermon, and the minister who was preaching, his name is Andrew Womack, and I cannot recommend his teachings enough. If you are interested in learning more about what the Bible really says, if you were interested in spiritual disciplines, if you are interested, if you need healing, he believes that God still does miracles. And I don't know that you can find a scripture that says that is wrong. There are ministries out there that say that miracles don't happen anymore, but I believe that's to explain why sometimes we pray for things that don't happen. And Andrew's like, no, if you pray for something that doesn't happen, there are reasons why, but it's not because God hasn't healed. Not because he doesn't heal people anymore, that he doesn't offer prosperity or so forth. And it's not name it and claim it. There's an element of you can speak to what you want to. If you have received salvation and therefore the faith of God is placed in your heart, you can speak to your mountain. But if you do so and things don't happen, well, it's not because God didn't move. But anyway, I am not doing a great job representing what he has to say, but awmi.net, Andrew Womack Ministries International, or Apple. There are words in this world that start with a W, but none of them want to come to mind. Apple Wonka Mickey Ichabod.net. There are hundreds of hours of teachings, all of which you can download for free, and I encourage you to go, whether you are really interested in more of God because you love him or really interested in debunking God because you hate him. In either case, go and look at the topics that he has and see what he has to say, because he would be an excellent sparring partner. If you're like, I'm going to prove that God does not exist, listen to what he has to say, write to the ministry. Whether you're for God or against him, I think that ministry is an excellent resource, and it has been in my life. And so all of that was a rabbit trail to say that last night I was listening to a podcast out of his series. I'm going to check, and I'll be back in 1 second. I'm back. The series called As I Have Loved You. I knew it was early in the alphabet because I've downloaded a whole bunch of series and then just started going through them in alphabetical order. So it's in the series As I Have Loved You, talking about God's love. And for my own edification, as well as to benefit those of you who are in the same boat as I am, I wanted to record this podcast. I struggle to believe that God loves me. And that is despite a wealth of evidence to the contrary. I have nothing that I can point to say, see, this is why I don't believe that God loves me, as far as how God has treated me, because he has blessed me over and over and over again so many, many times. And so what I'm going to talk about, some of it might sound prideful or like I'm saying, look, I am special to God. Well, I am special to God, but not more so than anybody else on this planet. My three-week-old son, whom I'm looking over and who is just mildly stirring in his swing and looking around at the lights in the room, at the little fish hung over the swing. God loves him just as much as he loves me. My father, who is 70 as of last November, God loves him just as much as he loves me. There is no one who has ever existed or will exist on this planet that is worth less than me. I have no problem with that. What I struggle with is there is no one who has ever existed on this planet who is worth more than me, because just based on some stuff with my childhood experience, which I may speak on in a future podcast, I struggle to believe that I deserve to be loved, that I'm worth as much as other people, unless I've done something to earn it. If I can really make everybody laugh, then there's a period of a couple hours where I think, yeah, I matter. If I do something really, really wise or really kind, I might think, okay, yeah, for a while I matter. But to think that on an average day, or more so, if there's a day where I kick the dog and yell at my kid or so forth, that I matter. But God loves me, and he loves me regardless of what I do. I could go out and live the rest of my life and never do anything good, and he would still love me. I struggle with that. And so I'm going to tell a couple stories illustrating God's love, how he has directly spoken love over my life. And I say I'm going to tell these stories as an encouragement to you, because if you don't believe God exists, he's not going to force knowledge of his existence on you. He'll let you believe that. But he does exist. And if you don't believe that he loves you, he's not going to force you to. But he does love you. And the stories I'm about to tell, God hasn't done these things because I'm special or because I'm more special than anyone else. The same grace and love and joy that God has given me are available for anyone and everyone. And so if you're out there and you're listening and you have not experienced the love of God, I would wish no better gift than that. And honestly, when I pray for people who are struggling, the one thing if there were such a thing as genies and I found a magic lamp and I rubbed it, it would be this person know how much God loves them. And sometimes it seems like it would take a genie, because God won't force himself on you. If you want to believe that he doesn't exist, he'll let you. If you want to believe that he doesn't love you, he will let you. But he does. And this also may be a rabbit trail, but I was up a lot last night. I really, really, really dislike religion. Now I'm not talking about any specific religion. I'm saying all of them. All of them. Whatever religion you can name, from satanic worship up through any major denomination that loves God. If it's religion, it's a mistake. It's not enough, is what I'm saying. Religion is never enough. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. And we can't build that tower tall enough. Whether we're building it on a foundation of worshiping the devil or building it on a foundation of worshiping nature, or building it on a foundation of worshiping God. If it's our attempt to reach Him, we will never be able to make it. So religion sucks and has caused so much problems and strife. What I am for is God's, a relationship with Him. And if you're saying, well, what does that look like? Well, we were lost in our sin, we were lost in our selfishness, and God became man and lived a life on this earth and dealt with having to go to the bathroom and, you know, probably, since he was the son of a carpenter, probably smashed his finger with a hammer and felt the pain of that, felt everything that we feel and dealt with everything that we deal with. There is nothing, no hardship or sorrow or pain that we go through that Jesus did not also deal with. He dealt with loneliness. He dealt with grief. He, suddenly my train of thought, my son is so beautiful. He was not even good looking. There's scripture that says there was nothing about his appearance that would draw people to him. He was rejected, he was despised, he was shunned, he was abandoned, he was betrayed. Anything that you have ever gone through, Jesus knows how you feel. And that it was God's attempt to reach out to us. Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we had done nothing to recommend ourselves to Him, when we had done nothing that we deserved His love, God gave everything He had to reach down to us and pull us up out of the pit that we were in. And that is salvation. That's the salvation message in a bleary, lack of sleep nutshell. But that is what God did for us. And so it's the opposite of religion. It's God reaching down to us, and we may take hold of His hand and be lifted up to a higher place. Scripture says, I have set before you life and death. Choose life. So anyway, as I attempt to choose life this morning, I'll tell you a couple stories. One is my business. And I don't even know if I've told these stories before. If I have and you're hearing them again, it's going to be a repeat. So my apologies. But they're good stories. It's a long story to talk about how God led me to... I was excited about the idea of ever making, just the idea of making movies excited me. And I directed a couple dumb things in junior high. I never had a camera of my own. For whatever reason, I never thought to ask my parents for one or save up money to get one. It just seemed, just never clicked with me that was a possibility. But just so happened that a guy in my church had a camera and was friendly, and we were like, hey, let's put a couple videos together. And I wrote a couple dumb things that we did in junior high, and then stumbled across, of all the computer games I could have found, I found this one called Stunt Island, where you, half the game was flying around. I was in like 92, 93. The graphics are terrible, but I'm so thankful for this game. Half the game was flying around doing stunts with these various airplanes, but the other half of the game was put up to 8 cameras wherever you want, put them so that they're attached to the wing of the plane you're going to fly, or that they're on this structure you're going to fly past. Just so many options, and then do a stunt with whatever you want. You could put a plane in prop position 1, and then it would have a plane for your stunt, but you could put a bell tower in position 1. You could put a duck in position 1, and then you would be flying a duck. Anyway, the program was amazing in the things it allowed you to do. You take the footage from any of this 8 cameras into an editing bay and choose what shots you want and go in reverse order if you want, and speed up and slow down, I think, if you wanted. You could turn things black and white. Again, the program was amazing in what it allowed you to do, and what it allowed me to do, really, was like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. I spent hours editing footage, hours changing things around, and realized that I loved doing that. And anyway, all of that, the chance that a general manager of a TV station that just happened to be around the corner from my school would come in to my class. I don't know how many classes he visited, but he came to mine to say they were looking for interns. And I just so happened to get an internship and just so happened to get a job at a television studio. all of that coming together, and I still didn't get it. I'd never thought, wow, I wonder if I could make a living having a business making videos. I thought, wow, it'd be great to make a living, you know, in TV. But then when nonprofit television just wasn't making enough money and I left and did data entry for 3 years, never really thought, what if? But a wonderful friend, name drop, boom, Dave Hodel, sat me down and said, listen, we see that you're miserable. What would you do if you could do anything? And I know I've told this story on the podcast before, but too bad, it's still a good story. And he says he doesn't even remember this, but I will never forget it. We wrote down about 8 things, one of which was doing film and video. And I had no, the only thought being maybe I could get a job with a TV station. And since there were only 3 or 4 in town that were paying anything and they didn't have a ton of jobs, that was a long shot. And if that's what God had wanted, I would have gotten that. But he had something even better. He had something so much better. He spoke to my spirit, and God has spoken to me many times. So if you're out there and you say, God doesn't exist, well, he talks to me. And I can't prove that it's him and not just my own subconscious, except that he says things that I would never say to myself. And one of the things he said to me was, I'm going to give you a video business. And again, it's a long story, but I trademarked within, I think, a month or so of him saying that, I had trademarked a business name, Ninja Boy, which, again, Dave Hodel was calling me. I was taking martial arts classes at the time, and he called me Ninja Boy. And I thought, that's fun, and it could be a business name. And then I spent 6 months trying to make money happen with my own dumb ideas. Didn't make a dollar. And the first client, the first elementary school, dropped into my lap. It just so happened that in the singles group I was attending, there was a girl whose mother was music director for a school. And name dropped, Cimarron Elementary. They were my very first school. And I filmed, I think here in February coming up, I've got another shoot over there. And God gave me a video business and gave me my first client and gave me many more clients and has led me in this to where, despite having no business training and, I will admit it, very little business sense and not a lot of ability to promote myself either, I have a successful business. And I would say a thriving business. I'm not making a ton of money, but I'm making a good living and providing for my wife and child, though my wife has a job and she also provides the lion's share of our finances comes from this business. And it still amazes me. We're heading into, it's 2016, and I got spun up in late 2001, so heading into the 15th year of having a video business, and it still amazes me that people give me money to make videos for them. I'm so blessed, and it's all God. So that's one story. Here is another. I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, but there's a piano. I can lean over and see it sitting in the corner. I had thought it would be nice to have an upright piano. My wife and I had even talked about where we could put it if time came that we wanted to go out and look to see if someone was maybe donating one and we could spend the money for movers to get it into our house. And about a month, 6 weeks ago, I don't know, my wife was driving to work, and as she pulled out of our driveway, she looked to her left and saw that the neighbors 2 doors down had put a piano on the street. And she texted me and said, there's a piano out there. And I was cold. It was like 6 a.m. I walked down and plinked the keys, and the piano's in good shape. Is it perfect? No. But it's great. And my wonderful neighbors, name drop, Curtin Morrow, boom. He and his sons, Cody and Kevin, and my friend, name drop, Andrew Peck, boom, came over and helped me move this piano. And so with no effort on my part besides just a little struggle to get it into the house, I have a piano now. And the thing is, I didn't even ask God for a piano. It had never occurred to me to say, God, will you bless us with a piano? It just was something we had wanted, and he provided. And that's not even the story I want to tell, because piano is a fairly big thing. It's something that, yes, I could have managed on my own, but it's pretty big. But when I say God loves me, I have a water bottle that I carry with me. And again, sorry if I've already told this story. It's still a really good one. And for convenience, when I'm running around with a camera, I clip the water bottle to my belt with a carabiner. And I had lost both water bottle and carabiner. I don't know, left it behind somewhere. I lose things on occasion. And so I bought another water bottle, but I didn't have a clip to put it on. And I was running around at men's retreat with my church this a couple years back, 2012. Yeah, it was 2012, in October. And it was just, you know, I had a water bottle with me because I take water where I go and couldn't clip it to my belt. So I thought, I'm going to find a carabiner. And I the men's retreat was downtown. So Saturday morning, I wandered around 16th Street thinking maybe 7-Eleven would have one. No. Thinking maybe Walgreens would have one. No. Could have gone to REI or a hardware store. Didn't think about that. But I don't know that there's a hardware store down on 16th Street. Anyway, again, this is not a big deal. I was just going to go to REI maybe Sunday after church and get a carabiner. Well, just so happened. I was hanging out with my sister that Saturday night, and it just so happened when she opened her mail that some business, as a promotion, had sent her a carabiner. And again, I had not asked God for one. But out of nowhere, my sister's opening her mail, and she's like, oh, do you want this? I don't need it. Silver carabiner. That's when I want to say, God loves me. And you could say, oh, it's just a coincidence that it just so happened. And I'm like, yes, you could argue that it's just a coincidence, but it's not. I don't believe in coincidences like that. How many hundreds or thousands of times had my sister opened her mail and not had a carabiner in it? And it just so happened that the one day I was aware of a need for one. And you could say, oh, well, the universe provided it. Yes, the universe in the form of the God who created the universe. If you're willing to believe that the universe, that there's a supernatural force out there that would do something like that to bless me, just take it one step further and put a name on it. It's God. He loves me. And I'm not special more than anyone else. He loves everybody else that much too. And I hadn't asked for a carabiner. I had not asked him to provide, but he still provided. And it was nothing I could not have done for myself. Sunday, I could have, like I said, gone to a hardware store. That particular carabiner, after years and years of use, well, years and years, 2012, after about 3 years, it kind of fell apart on me. So I actually went to a hardware store, bought a sturdier one. But so it was nothing I could not have done for myself. But God still blessed me with that because He loves me. And again, He loves you. And if I never get anything else across with this podcast, if I could get one person to stop for a second and think, maybe he's right. Maybe God really does love me. And if you are out there and you are mad at God because the church has failed you, I understand. I don't understand your circumstances, but I understand what it's like to be failed by a church. I had an experience with a pastor once that was like a betrayal and that broke my heart. And so I know what it's like for people to fail you. I do. If you're out there and you're mad at God because you've lost someone or you've been hurt or something has happened that He could have prevented, I understand that too. And I wish I had the words to explain it, but God set this world into motion, and bad things do happen. And yes, He could prevent them. And He doesn't, because life has to be allowed to live. And, when we tell, when we force Him out of our schools, and then our schools become dangerous places to be, there's a correlation there. When we force Him out of our government, and our government starts falling apart, there's a correlation there. God is not going to force Himself on anyone. If you say, I don't want you in my life, He won't be in your life. But He loves you. He has always loved you. And there is no circumstance you are enduring that He does not understand. So So if, that's the point of telling these stories, if, like me, you struggle to believe that God loves you, listen to my testimony, and then if any part of you is like, maybe he's telling the truth, maybe it is possible to hear from God, maybe it is possible to receive the blessings that the Bible talks about. Apparently, I've never counted, but there are apparently well more than 7,000 promises in the Scriptures. And some of them are conditional. God says, if you do this, then I will do that. And some of them are not. You know, God promised that he will never again destroy the world with water. He will never again flood the earth. Not if we keep our noses clean. It's just like, okay, that was a very, very, the great flood was, God says, this was a big thing. This was a very extreme was the word I was looking for, measure. And I will not do that again, regardless of how they get. So many promises. And you read the words of Jesus, he's promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised us peace if we keep our minds set on him. He's promised us joy, all the wonderful, the fruits of the Spirit. And I was talking earlier of the sermon that I was listening to in As I Have Loved You, the series. Andrew Womack is saying, you know, God, we, those of us that are church-going folk, you know we're supposed to love others. Yes, we're supposed to love others as God has loved us. And do we understand how much God has loved us? If we think of God as someone who's just up there with a lightning bolt waiting to strike us down, that's not how he calls us to love others. So how could that be how he loves us? And we look at the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God expects us to operate in these fruits of the Spirit. How can he do so if he does not also operate in them? It's his own Spirit from which this fruit comes from. So God is a God of love. In fact, God is love, that scripture says. God is a God of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If you see God as angry and just waiting to strike you down, you don't understand God's love. There is a truth, and there are consequences, and what you sow, you will reap. But God is long-suffering, he is patient, and his grace is sufficient. Whatever you have done, and I'll go further, whatever you will do, whatever I will do with sins I don't even know I'm going to commit yet, have been forgiven. All you need to do is accept what he has done. And there was the third story about his goodness. I haven't done comedy in about 3 months. I have not been on stage, and I miss it. And there's a part of me that thinks, oh, you know, I've lost it. Whatever magic I had, whatever I had going for me, I've lost all momentum, and you know, it's over. Because I struggle, constantly struggle with feeling like I'm not enough, like I don't have enough. But the show in October, that was all God, the Holy Spirit, over a year ago. Was like, what if you contacted Lakewood Cultural Center or contacted a theater and put on a show? I wonder what it would cost. It turns out there is a significant cost, but spread among three comics. We actually made our money back and made a little bit of scratch over and atop that. And even if I had had to spend the money, the chance to make people laugh for an hour, and I didn't know that I could do that. I didn't know that I had what it took. I had done 25 minutes before that a couple times, but had no idea, and yet God said, why don't we do this? And he put the wheels in motion. And so there's a reason why I haven't been trying to make stuff happen in the comedy world. I am waiting on God to arrange things, because he knows more and he has the resources. And as we've established with the previous stories, he loves me. So I don't want to get out ahead of him. I don't want to promote myself. I'd much rather let God promote me, because then I know that we're doing things the way he wants, and that is the best possible way to do things. So that's today's podcast, as I watch my son, who has now fallen asleep, rock in his chair, and another example of God's love. I prayed for 17 years before I met my wife, and there was a lot of struggle, a lot of difficulty in the waiting. My wife also obviously was waiting, because she's not much younger than I am, and a lot of waiting involved, but it was worth it. And to look at my beautiful, beautiful son and think of all the years I hated Father's Day, because it was Father's Day proved that there was something wrong with me, because I did not even have a wife, much less a child. And how impossible it seemed so many times that I could ever be married, much less a father. To look and watch my child sleep in his chair across the room, I am so thankful for God's love. I am so blessed. He has given me so much. And he loves you too. If you are out there, well, you must be, because you're hearing these words. He loves you. And if you think I'm telling lies or that I'm crazy, you are welcome to think so, but I'm not wrong. And I challenge you, especially if you think that I'm crazy or if you doubt that what I'm saying could apply to you, I dare you to ask God to reveal himself to you. Ask him to speak to you, because he is faithful and he will. Now, if you say, God, I want to believe that you exist, so prove yourself. You know, if you try to test God, that does not work. Saying, okay, God, if you're real, turn this red pen into a blue pen. Or if you're real, give me that job I want. Or if you're real, X, Y, and Z. You know, God doesn't operate that way. And it's not a fair thing to do. If my son, 5 years from now, you know, when he's old enough to kind of understand the concept, if he's like, okay, prove that you love me, buy me this bicycle. No, I'm not going to respond to that. I do love him, and I will show him every day that I love him. I would tell him, hopefully, every day that I love him, but it's not about proving it. But if you say to God, I want to experience you, I want to believe, please touch my life, he will do so. He is faithful. Scripture says, if any lack wisdom, let them ask of God. Scripture says, ask and it will be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. And there are ways of asking that are not appropriate. Just, again, if my son begged me for the keys to the car when he's 7, I'm not going to do that. That is a request I will not grant. But I will never fail to feed him. I will never fail to clothe him as long as I have anything I can give. And I would give him the clothes off my back if that were the only way he could be clothed. I would give him the last food I had if it were the only way that he could eat. And look at that. Look at how I love my son as an imperfect, very imperfect human being. How much more does God love you, the son or daughter that he created, that he knew before you were even in your mother's womb? I cannot stress enough how much God loves you. And so that's today's podcast. God loves you. I don't have a parody song. This subject is too important to make light of, really. So that's just what I wanted to say. So on behalf of WC the comedian, with my son sleeping in the swing in the corner and my dog hanging out on my lap, and my wife and my cat upstairs sleeping somewhere, God loves you. You heard it here, maybe first. But it's still true, whether you're hearing it for the first time or the 1,000th time. Own your stage. Know that whatever stage you have, God has blessed you with it. And if you want a better stage, well, I'd say it's fair that he wants that for you too. So why don't you ask him what he would have you do? And if you ask him what he would have you do, and wait for an answer, and then do what he tells you to, you will be living the best possible life you could ever live. Not necessarily the easiest, not necessarily the most pain-free, but the best, by far the best. I should tell that story sometime. Maybe sometime soon. But in the meantime, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.